Remember when the Giants took so much heat for that inexperienced coaching staff that they first hired under Gabe Kapler? Not just inexperienced, but also unusually large. Well, guess what? These guys are moving on to bigger and better things. We know that Donnie Ecker left to be the offensive coordinator and bench coach with the Texas Rangers. A big, big job for him. And Andrew Bailey was recently, the Mets wanted to interview him to be their bench coach, and the Giants denied that. And how about this? Someone who the Giants really wanted to hire, Rachel Balkovic, who would have been the first female coach in Major League history. Before that went to Alyssa Nacken, whom the Giants later hired. Balkovic is going to manage the Yankees' low A team in 2022. So this is an historic move by the Yankees. We're going to talk about that and so many other things, including an update on the lockout next on today's Locked On Giants.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide episodes actually 3 days a week for now, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day, or at least 3 days a week for now. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. We're so close to 1,000 subscribers, so if you could just go to our YouTube channel, Locked On Giants, and hit that subscribe button, I would really appreciate it. And coming up on today's show, as I said, I want to get to these kind of major news stories over the last, over the weekend, basically, with Rachel Balkovic being named the coach, the manager for the low A Tampa Tarpons. That's not Tarpoons, Tarpons. I don't know what that is. Next season. So the move makes Balkovic the first female manager in affiliated professional baseball. So this is a big deal. And I knew Balkovic, the first time I was exposed to Rachel Balkovic was, and it might be Balkovic, I may be mispronouncing that. I should probably have looked it up beforehand. But the first I saw of Rachel was her YouTube channel, or at least she was on YouTube. She was doing a fellowship over at Driveline, which is that, you know, place where pitchers go to get better, basically, using the latest tech. And she had some really interesting videos where they were putting like sensors on people's eyes, and they were able to see like what their eyes were doing, what hitters' eyes were doing as the ball was coming in. And so they were working on some really interesting kind of data about hitter eye movements during a pitch. So anyway, I was like, wow, this is fascinating. And then I heard she was hired by the Yankees as, I think it was a hitting coach. No, it wasn't a hitting coach. I'm trying to read this on the fly. She was hired by the Yankees in some capacity, but she wasn't a coach on the Major League staff because Alyssa Nacken was the first to take that role, and Balkovic was hired by the Yankees first. But anyway, I knew when the Giants, this story came out in December 2019, so right after Gabe Kapler was hired and right as they were searching for a new staff, and I think they had just announced their new staff, and Alex Pavlovich, I was just rereading this article, reported that the Giants tried to hire Balkovic to be on their major league coaching staff. She was going to join them in a hybrid role that would have been something along the lines of quality control coach. She would have worked on the hitting side, but also contributed to the strength and conditioning side, which is her background. And yeah, also in the YouTube videos, I think I went down a rabbit hole kind of watching some of her videos. She was talking about training smart, basically, and not just training based on what we've always done in the past, but really getting hitters to be, or excuse me, baseball players to train in a way that is going to make them most capable of performing and staying healthy. I think that was her big point, was preventing injuries. So she's great from what I've seen. And it's a big deal that she's going to manage a affiliate of the New York Yankees. It's at the lowest level of the minors, but still, for her to be the manager, obviously the first woman to do so, is a big deal. And there's been a lot of game-changing kind of news for women in baseball recently. Like, we're having all-female broadcasts. We're having, you know, women taking major roles with team broadcasts. We're Kim Ng was hired as the general manager of the Miami Marlins, which was obviously a first. And then Alyssa Nacken being the first major league coach, and now Balkovic. So congratulations to her. Obviously, I think she's as qualified as anybody, maybe the most qualified low A manager in the game. And so I'll be fascinated to see her continue to progress. And also, out of Australia, we're going to talk about this later on in the show. Just the other day, a pitcher, Genevieve Beckham, became the first female professional baseball player in Australia. She's a left-handed pitcher, 17 years old, and she debuted with the Melbourne Aces, and she tossed a scoreless inning. So that's fascinating as well, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I also want to talk about the Mets tried to poach Andrew Bailey. We've already lost Donnie Ecker, and the Mets are trying to take Andrew Bailey, but the Giants denied for him to be interviewed. So we're going to talk about that, updates to what's going on with the lockout, and then the story about the first woman professional baseball player in Australia. So stay tuned for all of that. But first, it's the new year. So that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. And Built Bar makes it quick and easy to stick to your resolution, because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it, unlike the protein bars that can be chalky, waxy, or taste like a chemical spill. They're certainly not satisfying those cravings you may be having around this time in the new year. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By week 3, or honestly by day 11, as we are here on January 11th, you might be thinking, this isn't worth it. Where's the chocolate? You may have already gone backwards on that resolution, but I'm telling you, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You can get 15% off your next order, and these will save you because they taste so delicious, and a typical bar only has about 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar to go along with close to 20 grams of protein. So as I said, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, here we go. I want to squeeze in the story about Andrew Bailey. I also want to talk about the update to the collective bargaining agreement. There is a significant change here, and I want to cover it. And so thanks again, though, for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. I think the CBA change update is probably the best place to go from here. And it's kind of a small update, but it's certainly a significant one. Jeff Passan reported today on the 11th of January that Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association plan to hold a bargaining session Thursday, sources tell ESPN. MLB is expected to make a core economics proposal at the session, which would be the first between the sides since the league locked out the players on December 2nd. And so Thursday will be the 13th. So it'll be about, 6 weeks since the lockout started. They're going to make their first core economics proposal. We have heard and reported that the two sides have met some number of times in the last 6 weeks or so, but they have never even attempted to discuss core economic issues, which is what this is all about. Like, before an agreement can be made, they're going to have to agree on core economics, which they currently do not. And we've outlined that in great detail. If you want to hear all the latest on the lockout, then you can listen to the episode I put out just a few days ago, last week. In the title, it says ESPN's Jeff Passan something, something, something. We basically went through an entire article by Jeff Passan that really was the latest and most informative about what's going on with the lockout. And the gist of it is a whole lot of nothing has happened. And that's fine for now. It's not a great sign. But the further we get into January and approaching February, then you start to look at delays to spring training, delays to the start of the regular season, potentially. And there are all these key dates when that become when those various starting points, like the start of spring training and the start of the season, come into doubt. And so I'm still pessimistic. My honest, like, up to the minute thoughts on this is I am pessimistic about the season starting on time. As many have reported, and I completely agree, this is going to the sides aren't really going to budge much until there's something to be lost. And both sides are standing to lose money if the season doesn't happen, right? Or at least if there's a delay, because the teams aren't taking in the normal revenue from a number of different sources, including just simply having games and gate revenue and concession revenue and all that. And the players don't get paid their salaries. Normally, players are paid during the season. I think they're paid once a month or twice a month, but for the six-month-ish period that makes up the season, they are not paid in the offseason. So they're never paid right now. But once the season is supposed to start and those end games start getting missed, they're not getting paid. So both sides kind of went through this in 2020 with the pandemic and the fact that the season was delayed. And during that whole period, the season didn't start until basically the end of July. And so all of that time, April, May, June, and most of July, that's 3.5 months, the players weren't getting paid and the teams weren't taking in the revenue they normally do. And so it hit them hard. I mean, I think owners especially, well, that might be the wrong way to put it, but teams felt those losses. And normally we think of these teams as like behemoths and they can withstand anything, and they can. But at the same time, they were not insignificant losses. We heard of losses of $100+ million for each team. And yeah, and the players, I mean, they ultimately ended up getting paid prorated salaries based on a 60-game schedule. So they've been through this before as well. But the fact is, I think it was Max Scherzer who talked about they're sitting on a treasure chest of money, basically reserves to be able to sustain the members of their union. And so if games are missed, they're going to pay the players some amount to be able. It especially hurts the guys who have never really made any money but are on the 40-man roster and normally would have gotten paid even the league minimum. If they're getting nothing, that hurts because maybe it's their only source of income and they need it to get by. And that's true for undoubtedly most of the players who are in that position. And so that's probably the guys who are going to be helped out the most by, you know, Max Scherzer just signed a 3-year deal for like $150 million almost. He alone could support all of those players, but I'm sure that's not how it's going to work. But anyway, I have my doubts. Like, even though this is a big deal that there's going to be a core economics proposal on Thursday by the league, and what we're going to have to watch out for is what is the response of the players. If it's the same as always, if it's the players basically thinking it's completely off the table and completely not enough and just not even close to a fair proposal, which honestly I would expect. That's kind of how Major League Baseball has operated. They have been really sticklers with these negotiations, and they'll ask you, they'll concede a little bit, like they'll say, we'll give you the universal DH, which it's pretty clear both sides want, so the league really ought to stop using that as some sort of give by them. But they'll say, okay, we'll give you the universal DH, and then they'll say, but we want playoffs expanded to 14 teams from 10. I know that's not really core economics. The core economics stuff is service time and the luxury tax threshold being raised, which it's undoubtedly going to get raised, but the question is by how much, and on. There's revenue sharing, those types of things. So it's going to be fascinating to see what that proposal is, and it's possible that there's going to be a leak about what they're expected to propose. And I mean, it's Tuesday today, so we're not far away from that. So that's going to be major news to come back for, and we will certainly cover that whenever any kind of substantial information comes out. So I can't wait for that. It's great that this is happening, but I remain pessimistic. It easily could be the players are offended by the offer. They think it's ridiculous, and they won't even consider it a step forward in any kind of way. So anyway, coming up next, we're going to switch gears. I want to talk about Andrew Bailey, the Giants pitching coach, another guy from this initial ragtag group of coaches that received a lot of scorn from, honestly, the media and the fans for being unproven and being large overall. These guys are getting poached away. Other teams want these coaches, and we're going to talk about the Mets trying to take Andrew Bailey from the Giants and the Giants saying no. So all of that next. But first, BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Put down $100, get 50 in return, just like that. But you need to use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, and of course, baseball, once we're back with baseball, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about the Mets trying to take Andrew Bailey from the Giants and the Giants saying, no. And then we're going to talk about the first female professional baseball player in Australia making her debut. I watched this outing. Very impressive. So, and 17 years old. That I found out later. Even more impressive when learning that she was just 17. So, first about Andrew Bailey. So there was a report by Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic just yesterday talking about how the Mets are delayed again in their bench coach search as the Giants block interview with Andrew Bailey. And so kind of just scrolling down, Rosenthal says, quote, the Giants recently denied permission to allow pitching coach Andrew Bailey to interview for the Mets bench coach vacancy, according to Major League sources. Their reasoning was similar to the rationale the Padres used in refusing to permit quality control coach Ryan Flaherty to interview for the same job with the Mets, as was reported by The Athletic on Sunday. It's relatively late in the offseason. The coaching staffs for most clubs are set. Finding a replacement, particularly for a position as meaningful as Bailey's, would not be easy. The problem is, teams customarily grant permission when rival clubs request to interview staffers for jobs that would be considered promotions. And when teams exercise their right to block employees from such pursuits, they sometimes are acting counter to those employees' desires and possibly their best interests. Flaherty, who played for Showalter, the new Mets manager, with the Orioles from 2012 to 2017, almost certainly would have wanted to explore a promotion that would have reunited him with his former manager, even though he recently signed a 3-year contract with the Padres. For Bailey, the Mets represented a chance to reunite with Epler, the new general manager of the Mets, who, as Angels GM, gave Bailey his first coaching job in 2018. A return to the East Coast might also have been enticing. Bailey grew up in South Jersey and attended Wagner College in Staten Island, New York. Both Bailey, 37, and Flaherty, 35, are younger, analytically savvy types who fit the profile of the type of bench coach the Mets want under Showalter, who's 65. But while such a move would have been a clear jump for Flaherty, some executives do not necessarily view the change Bailey would have made from pitching coach to bench coach as a promotion. A bench coach plans spring training and helps with various tasks during the season, but his ability to assist with in-game strategy comes at the manager's discretion. Flaherty likely would have enjoyed a healthy back and forth with Showalter while serving almost as a manager in training. Bailey, on the other hand, has no previous connection to Showalter. The relationship would have needed time to grow, and at least initially, Bailey might have had less input than he does as Giants pitching coach. The Giants are not opposed to their coaches interviewing with other clubs if the opportunity represents a clear promotion or if the request comes early in the offseason when there is still ample time to backfill the position, sources said. A case in point occurred on November 1st when the Giants lost hitting coach Donnie Ecker to the Rangers, and who named him their bench coach and offensive coordinator. The second title indicates the Rangers wanted Ecker to be in part because of his hitting expertise, even though they hired Tim Hires as hitting coach a week later and also employed two assistant hitting coaches. By giving Ecker the title of bench coach, the Rangers gained access to his hitting theories. Ecker also benefited moving into a position generally perceived to be next in line for manager. Bailey likely wanted the chance for the same opportunity, but his chance of becoming a manager might be no worse with the Giants than it would have been with the Mets. So this just goes on. And so that was a little more detail maybe than I meant to give there, but now you have the full picture of exactly what's going on there. And so Bailey is going to return, but there's a chance that he wanted to interview for that job and the Giants just said no. So we'll never really find out. I mean, it's late in the process. I mean, it is January. This is kind of the Mets' problem for not hiring a manager until pretty late in the process. I think it was after the lockout began when they could have very well hired a manager much earlier into the offseason. So that's just how it goes. This happens from time to time, but it was just worth pointing out that they did try to take Andrew Bailey. So that's the thing. We've talked about this a lot, but when you have a lot of success like the Giants just had, especially when people don't expect you to be good and you're able to maximize the players you have so well, your coaches are going to be in high demand. So that's one of the drawbacks of being a good and well-run organization, but it's better to be that than to have nobody interested in your coaches, which for a long time may have, to be perfectly honest, been true of Bruce Bochy's staff. I mean, Ron Wotus interviewed a bunch of times and never got the managerial job he was kind of seeking. Hensley Mullins, same thing. He did eventually end up as New York Mets bench coach, which is kind of ironic because that's exactly what we're talking about here with Bailey, as Mullins has since been let go. And yeah, so it's good that they're in high demand, but I'm still kind of reeling from the loss of Donnie Ecker. But We'll see. I would bank on the Giants being able to withstand that and find the next coach. That's the thing, is Gabe Kapler is known to kind of always have guys he considers next in line, guys and gals he considers next in line for these positions. You know, full circle to Rachel Balkovic, I think, you know, he was interested in her before she became this big deal as the first female manager in affiliated professional baseball here in the United States. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We didn't really have time to elaborate on Melbourne Aces lefty Genevieve Beckham becoming the first female player in Australian professional baseball, but tip of the hat to her. She looked good in the outing. I mean, she had a good fastball and a good breaking ball, and she pitched a scoreless inning. So tip of the hat to her, and hopefully more to come of that. So once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, subscribing on YouTube. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again either tomorrow or Thursday. And we're doing three episodes this week, and this was number one. So two more out of the next 3 days. Not sure exactly what the schedule will be. Anyway, thanks again for listening today. As always, stay locked on Giants.